and welcome to We're Obsessed With, a weekly podcast from Heat Magazine, where we dissect all the best showbiz stories of the week and just talk about all those things that we've been obsessed with, talking about in the office, that kind of thing. I'm Lucy Ford, Heat's entertainment reporter. I'm joined by Kate Randall, Heat's news editor.
Hi.
Hi. And Heat radio presenter, James Barr.
Hi, I'm obsessed with this because this is the best week of showbiz ever.
James begged to be on the podcast this week.
I actually did.
Fine, you can
I
be
did.
On it.
I sent many emails, my agent got involved. I just had to be
finally
here.
Finally got on.
It's just all of our favourites in one week. It's fantastic. So we are starting, as we always do, and I guess for the last time, with Love Island.
The last time, because it is the final week of Love Island. What are we going to do with our lives without it?
I have literally no idea.
I can't believe that it's over.
I know. Who's going to win? Who do we want to win?
I have such a soft spot for Camilla. I know that she is like kind of annoying now, but okay, the resounding no from the room.
I don't know. I love her, but I wanted her to win as a singleton. Now that she's like hooked up with Jamie and had sex on TV.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that for a second.
He put it in.
What was it she said?
He put it in.
I like that she whispered that like it's better, but I'd say that sounds grosser. Yeah. That sounds way worse.
It's like a 14-year-old girl. I mean, put it in.
The next question is where? Where did he put it? As a gay man, I don't know where he put it. So I need clarification on that. Then maybe she can win the show.
So, who do you want to win?
I want Chris and Olivia to win.
Oh, Olivia.
Yeah, I know, but I actually quite like Olivia because she's really horrible, but admits it.
Yeah, she's owning her truth.
Yeah, she's always and she's quite funny as well. She's happy to take the piss out of herself, but I don't think she is playing a game. Whereas the others are a bit more aware of how they're coming across, whereas Olivia is just mental.
They're kind of pretending.
So,
like Gabby, for example.
Ooh,
yes, I need to know.
Get me started on Gabby.
This take on Gabby, please dish all.
Kate was really going in on Gabby just before we started recording.
Yeah, wait, I'm hitting record.
We need to do this again.
You know when you just get a feeling about someone, whether they're fake or not, and that's the feeling I get about Gabby. I just don't think she really fancies Marcel. She knew before she went in he was the most popular guy in there, made a beeline for him, and now the tweets were read out this week saying that her feelings weren't genuine for him, and she couldn't cope with that.
And then she crumbled on the lie detector test.
Yeah, she crumbled on the lie detector test, admitted that she didn't want to she claimed that she wanted to have sex with him, but got found out for lying, and then said she didn't genuinely love him. And was told she was telling the truth. So
yeah. So do you
she lost her own game.
Yeah.
She like tried to win at that and just lost anyway. Yeah.
Do you think she's just doing it for the fame? That she's just dating him because of the whole Blazing Squad connection.
50,000, I think.
50 grand.
And the 50 grand, really.
So can you clarify? Because I'm not entirely sure. So a couple wins and they can split it, or does one person win and they can choose to split? Is it like golden balls?
Golden ball. I think the couple win, but then there is a twist that they can. Is it maybe the one with the most votes? Oh no, because they're voting as a couple.
So if Chris and Olivia win, then Chris is obviously going to get the most votes because the public hates Olivia.
Yeah.
But he would her along for the ride. But he wouldn't.
He would split it. But Olivia, I think, would take it all because she's my favourite.
She's an independent woman.
It's going to be it's a bit of a tough one to call, though, isn't it? Like, in terms of what the public will vote for, it's difficult to know, I think.
There's going to be a dark horse. I think Montana's in with a chance.
Well, Montana and Alex have been favourites for a while, but she was bitching about people last night, so...
She's bitching about Camilla, which I was not on board with.
But then I felt
but then
for
I
her
was
because
bitching about Camilla.
I was like, shut up, Camilla. You know, I think it's like, you know when you've been on holiday with someone for a couple of weeks and everything they do starts to annoy you. I think that's what's happened in the villa. So all Camilla has to do is say hello to Montana and she's like, oh, shut up.
The thing is, there's nothing else to do.
Hasn't it? Like, I feel like we've been on holiday with them for...
I know. I feel like, where's my tan? I deserve one now. I think, aren't they not allowed to talk about their normal lives? So Camilla's like super interesting, but she's not allowed to tell anyone that she is. Like, she's not allowed to talk about her being a bomb disposer.
Or going out with Prince Harry.
Yeah. So they have nothing to talk about except what is going on at that moment. So of course they're bored and bitching about each other because nothing else to talk about.
Yeah, because they've not downloaded like their favourite TV shows onto their iPad to watch.
No, they haven't got Twitter.
They've got books, right?
I don't know.
No, wow. So they're
they've just got nothing. All they've got
is each other.
Since they've gone in, Ed Sheeran's deleted and reinstated his Twitter about 16 times and they won't even know. It's ridiculous. Think of all the pop culture they've missed out. They missed out on Taylor in a Suitcase.
Oh, they've missed an entire week of amazing stories. And then another like 6 to 8 weeks of nothing that interesting.
They've missed Netflix launching like 700 shows like they always do. Like, they're going to have the best time when they get out, let alone having 50 grand.
I think they missed the election. Not that we talk about that. But I think they have missed a hell of a lot.
Yeah, they did miss the election.
Yeah, I forget that this has been going on.
This has been going on for so long.
For my entire life. You're right, they have missed. They've missed a million Netflix shows.
It's been going on since I was on the womb. Can you imagine? It's just going to be coming out, like, going out into daylight, like, Like, you know, when you go to a festival for 3 days and you think, like, I've missed the entire world. They've been there for however many weeks now.
Like, no, they won't be able to... Well, they have to slowly immerse themselves back into... reality.
A bit at a time, otherwise they'll get overwhelmed and faint.
But did you see pictures of the villa from the outside?
No.
It's gross.
Is it?
So they've got this lovely villa, but it's actually quite a bit smaller than what it is, and it overlooks some scaffolding.
Oh.
Oh no.
That's interesting.
So you know where the pool is?
Yeah.
They're just looking at scaffolding.
No.
Yeah, it's really
and it's just artfully shot.
Yeah. So they'll just all be on TripAdvisor when they get home.
Yeah. But it's like booking a hotel.
Bad service.
And then you're like, oh, yeah. Come to a half-built hotel.
Really? Well, that's interesting. It's like, you know, when people go to the Big Brother house and it looks massive on screen, but actually it's tiny because it's just a studio and it's all very small. I think things have to be a lot smaller to look big on TV.
And I reckon that bedroom must stink.
Speaking of things that look big on TV, I received a leaked nude of Chris from Love Island getting into the shower. You, so maybe I want Chris to
immediately sent it to me.
No wonder Olivia can walk the next day.
I forwarded that to everyone in my phone book. It nearly went to my mum by mistake. But if you're lucky enough to have been privy to that nude, wow!
If Olivia, not, DM James for his phone number and he'll send it to you.
Did you see Kem though?
No.
What? Kem's got a leak.
Yeah, it's not quite as impressive as Chris's.
Really?
Poor Kem.
Poor
but he's got
Kem.
A good personality.
What would you say?
But he's got a lovely personality. Yeah. That's what everyone wants to hear.
On a scale of sort of 1 to 10 inches, how big would you say it was?
Kem's? 4?
Oh, wow,
four,
really?
It like was a Coke can.
It wasn't fully erect, so maybe...
Maybe he's a grower. Has gone on, this podcast has just got bluer and bluer. Like,
sorry to anyone in the gym listening right now.
Sorry to anyone listening with their mums. Why in the gym?
Sorry, mum.
I don't know, it just might put you off if you're on the running machine.
Final points on who do we think was going to win? I think we should take a bet.
I think Jamie and Camilla are going to win.
Okay.
I'm going to say Chris just because I really enjoyed the leak.
You're going to be voting for everything. I'm going to go Kem and Amber.
Ooh.
It's definitely wrong, but I want to... No, be doing different.
I do love Montana though, so
yeah. So moving on, as I mentioned before, Love Islanders will have missed this. Ed Sheeran's cameo in Game of Thrones. That is the other story that we are obsessed with this week.
Need to vent.
Me and James have talked about this every single day on air so far, and I'm hoping that we can round it out to a full week.
I need to vent.
Right, vent.
I'm a massive Game of Thrones fan. I like Ed Sheeran.
Do you?
I love Game of Thrones. I hate Ed Sheeran in Game of Thrones. Oh my God, it's the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. There was absolutely no reason for Ed Sheeran to be in that show at all. And I don't say this as someone trolling Ed Sheeran. So before you delete your Twitter again, Ed, I'm not trolling you. I'm just saying how much I love Game of Thrones and how irrelevant your part in it was. Because Arya Stark is in the middle, and there's no spoilers here, she's in the middle of a murder tour. She's on her murder tour 2017. She's doing all the dates. She's knocking them all out left and right. And then she just stops to eat bread with Ed Sheeran, who's singing the lamest song I've ever heard.
Do you want to hear it?
No.
Well, I'm going to play it.
For hands of gold are always cold, but a woman's hands are warm. For hands of gold are always cold, but a woman's hands are...
It's a pretty song. I've never heard it before.
It's a new one.
Ah!
It's a new one. Go away. It's not a new one. Like, yeah, I love what you said as well, Lucy, this week. You were like, of course she's not heard it. She's quite busy. Like, she's not got an iPod. She's not checking out the new bangers on Spotify.
Yeah, it's like, I've not heard it. Like, haven't you been on the run for about 4 years?
Right.
Like, you're not like, oh, what's new in the charts?
How would you
this
have heard
Ed
it?
Sheeran banger? Of course you haven't heard it. That's why it's so annoying. It feels really out of context for everything that Game of Thrones stands for.
Completely.
And also, I hate that, like, it's a new one. You can know that he's winking at the camera with finger guns.
Yeah. It's a new one. Check
Still
it out.
Still better than Galway Girl.
Check out Divine.
Well, anything's better than Galway Girl.
Amazing. I like Galway Girl. Anyway, it's absolutely awful. Like, there's no narrative reason for that to be in the show. I saw a great tweet, actually, this week that said Ed Sheeran has redefined the word spoiler, which I thought was amazing. my favourite thing about that clip, can you play it again?
Yes.
Is the disapproving horse halfway through.
Four hands of gold are always cold.
I mean, he's heard this before.
I've
never heard it before.
It's a new one.
He's like the rest of us with every Ed Sheeran song, like, we've heard it all before. Not again.
I really want the horse to just turn up in everything Ed Sheeran does now, like when he's on stage. The pretty little Galway.
It's not the first time that Game of Thrones has cast people in cameos. Like, Coldplay were in it. A guy from This Is England was in that episode with Ed Sheeran.
Yeah.
They're always very subtle about it. It's just almost like, oh, you want to be in it? Cool, you can be a background character. With Ed Sheeran, it was like, is there nothing that Ed Sheeran wants that he can't get? And it just felt really shoehorned in. And that's why I think people have a really bad reaction to it.
I don't know if it was... He wasn't background. I'm trying to defend the show.
Wasn't.
But he was like fully in shot all the time. But I think the reason it didn't work is because other people that have done cameos in the show haven't been as famous. And he's just too, it's obvious, it's too much him.
But they could have
had him in the background.
They could have had him in the background and just been like, yeah, by the way, Ed Sheeran was
you
there.
I think he demanded a full on.
It would have been great if she was just in King's Landing busking and then the camera just went past him.
Yeah. Like Coldplay were playing the instruments in The Red Wedding and it lingered on them. I know they're not as famous as Ed Sheeran, but it's like kind of thing of like, I imagine they wanted to be in Game of Thrones. They got put in as a like, well, you can just be in a scene if you want. The most iconic scene of them all. I think with the Ed Sheeran thing, it was like, he didn't have to sing, and then he didn't have to be like, it's a new one.
Yeah.
Well, don't remember when George Michael was in EastEnders, he was just in the background in the Queen Vic.
Right.
And he's pretty famous. Well, he was pretty famous.
Yeah, exactly.
He managed to do it. And Harley Williams.
And not ruin the show.
Not make up a song.
He has
start singing with Peggy.
I think Ed deserves all the flack he gets for that.
Because, I do as well.
But then it is also sort of not his fault. So he shouldn't take it personally. He should just be like, lol, I did it. It was fun.
It's a sensitive little soul though, isn't he?
He's
so sensitive because it's like, okay, after the backlash, he deleted his Twitter. He'd kind of gone off Twitter anyway because of backlash for his Glastonbury gig, which is like, I'm sorry, if you're going to play to 100,000 people in a field and then millions of others on their TV screens, you're going to get some backlash. You get backlash for literally
criticism
anything.
Criticism isn't always trolling.
No, exactly.
But your opinion, you are allowed to say, oh, I don't like that.
Like, oh yeah, people going like, oh, I can't believe you had a backing track. It's like, well, no, it was a loop pedal, but like, that's not trolling. That's just someone not knowing what a loop pedal is, which is totally fair.
You both say trolling. Isn't it trolling?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm sure it's
just making me laugh. I thought,
oh,
well,
it
you're
is
a troll,
trolling,
aren't you?
Isn't it? You're a troll.
You're trolling because you're a
troll.
Always
said trolling.
I thought it was trolling like lolling. Troll-a-la-la-lol.
No, I think it's trolling. Trolling. Like, oh, you're a troll. No, trolling. Trolling, not trolling.
Okay, sorry.
I don't know.
Trolling.
Anyway, yeah, sorry.
Trolling. Tomato, tomato.
He needs to not be so sensitive.
Yeah, so
he's got millions of pounds.
Yeah, like,
he can cry into his £50 note.
Right. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
It all makes good music. Come on. So yeah, he wasn't on Twitter. Then he fully deleted his Twitter after the backlash for the Game of Thrones thing. And then it was back on, apparently. It's like, oh my God, just choose whether you want to be online or not.
I don't mind him deleting his Twitter.
I wish more celebs would.
All I'm saying is, if he wants to control his happiness by avoiding trolls and things like that, that's totally fine. I want to control my happiness by avoiding his cameo in Game of Thrones.
Exactly.
So I will not be watching that scene ever again.
I just hope that we make Disapproving Horse a thing. I want everyone to know about this. And I want everyone to flood his Instagram with the horse emoji in the same way that everyone flooded Taylor Swift's Instagram with the snake emoji. To the point where he has to ban the snake the horse emoji from his comments.
Do it.
He has to contact Instagram because everyone's going to be like...
I need to bring something up with Kate because she was just saying a minute ago that she thinks Jerry's cameo in Sex and the City is worse than this cameo.
How can you
say that?
Well, I mean, do you want to play it?
Have you heard it?
It's
seen it?
It's iconic. I know it's not particularly great acting-wise, but let's hear it.
Samantha Jones, how are you?
Oh, great, Phoebe. How are you?
Refreshed. We just dropped by the Soho House for a dip. I mean, what else can you possibly do in this heat except sit by the pool and drink cocktails while they mist you with Evian? Isn't it the best?
Samantha Jones, how are you?
I was just in the Soho House.
Getting myself sprayed with Evian.
Evian, check in that box.
The Soho House.
The Soho House.
Do you know what I think is really... yes, okay, but that show is silly. And, you know, it's all about...
It's a bit tongue-in-cheek and, like, on the nose, isn't it?
It's one of my favourite shows. And I love all the movies as well, but it's not Game of Thrones. It's not a period piece. I'm not sure Game of Thrones is period, but, like, it's got a bit of a...
Game of Thrones just changed the dynamic of telly. Like, it changed everything about it. Like, it let you kill off characters. It was gritty. It was dark. It showed everything. For them to then be like Sex and the City and just put in a crap cameo is a bit like, oh, come on, guys. You're so close to the end. You could have, like, gone out on a proper high.
But imagine Jerry turning up at King's Landing for a meeting with
Cersei. Oh, she probably would.
Scream if you want to go faster.
So good to see you.
I was just at the King's Landing getting sprayed with wine.
Long live Jerry.
Oh, let's make it happen.
Okay.
Jerry for Game of Thrones season 8. Let's get this going. All right, so the next thing that the world and me in particular is obsessed with this week is Harry Styles' Hollywood debut. So Dunkirk comes out today if you're downloading the podcast today. If not, it came out on Friday, the 21st of July. Mm-hmm. Is that the date we're in? Cool.
Yes.
Anyone else seen Dunkirk so far?
Seen it yet, but I just know he looks really, really fit.
Mm. in the film or just in general?
Just in general. He's really, really fit at the moment.
Yeah, like, he is really fit right now.
Yeah,
really,
fit. I think it's because he's got stubble and he's like a man now.
Oh, I think he's got the clearest skin of all time.
Really?
And he's had his hair cut.
He's glowing.
He looks
like an angel.
In your interview, Lucy, which is available to watch on Heat World YouTube,
guys.
He's definitely got stubble in that.
No, he doesn't.
I noticed it. He's got like a bum.
Have
like
you been
like
zooming
a
in?
Stubble. Yeah. I've been getting close to that screen.
Got closer than I did. So if you somehow don't know, this has literally been months and years that we've known about this. I remember when it first came out and I had to ask Mark Rylance like over a year ago how he felt about starring in a film with Harry Styles, which is probably so insulting to Mark Rylance, who is a sir. So Harry is making his acting debut in a Christopher Nolan film, which is like pretty great for a debut. And it's probably going to win a bunch of Oscars because it's amazing.
Imagine if he wins an Oscar in his first acting role.
Wow.
I don't think he's going to win an Oscar, but the film
it
probably
can only go
will.
Down from here.
I know.
Now, can't it?
So I think the big thing that was evident with all this Dunkirk press is that no matter who was in this film, like I said, Mark Rylance, Sir Kenneth Branagh, Cillian Murphy, Tom Hardy, all anyone wanted to know about was Harry Styles, which is quite a lot of pressure. So we actually chatted to him at the premiere of Dunkirk, and there were people fainting and crying at the sight of him.
I wasn't
one of them.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it was really embarrassing, James. Like, you need to chill out. Was there pressure that his fame would overshadow this amazing war epic?
I haven't really thought about kind of my bit too much. I just wanted to, you know, do my part and not ruin it, really.
Going into it, were you concerned about the level of your fame, obviously, and that overshadowing anything else about this film?
No. I think what the film is about, and obviously anytime Chris Nolan's directing a film, that's the biggest thing. Also, I don't really think about it that way. I'd be a bit of a dick if I thought about it like that, for sure.
I just want Harry saying bit of a dick as my ringtone.
He's got quite an American northern twang going on there.
He's got the weirdest voice. He's got like, He's gone like
it's up there in the
UK via Australia.
He is so hot.
He's so hot. So I literally couldn't sleep the night before I interviewed him. I'm not kidding. I feel like I've interviewed most of the people that I'm obsessed with, but Harry is like a different level for me. Harry is the kind of person that I can kind of understand why Beatlemania was a thing. You know, when you see videos of like screaming girls in the 60s and you're like, okay, everyone chill out. That is 100% how I feel about Harry Styles. And One if Direction, I didn't do my job, I think I would be behind that barrier fainting.
One Direction were very much the Beatlemania, weren't they? Of today.
Do you reckon the rest of 1D hate him slightly?
Oh, I don't know. Do you think so?
I think they probably. You must have known from the start, though, because even when was it back in 2010, you knew that Harry was the standout star. Even though like Liam was the better singer, Zayn was probably a better singer at that point. Something about Harry is like, I think James Corden said it like ironically, Harry has the X factor. Like he has exactly what Simon Cowell was looking for, and we can't pinpoint it because he's quite monotone.
I think we can pinpoint it.
I think we can. There's a lot of things, but like, what is it about Harry Styles that is so great?
He's very cool. He's very unassuming. Like he's very.
I think he's the most down to earth out of all of them.
I think Liam's second on that, or maybe Niall. I don't know.
I just don't care about the rest.
But
I
certainly think he's got more sort of swag, for want of a better word, that isn't a Justin Bieber lyric. But he does definitely have swag, doesn't he? He's got this vibe about him. He's hot.
He's just got it. He's got it.
Yeah.
Whatever that is, it's his
style. But without being a bit of a dick.
Exactly. And I will say, for anyone who wants an insight into how like celebrity interviews in hotels and stuff work, they're basically the most soulless experience of your entire life. So I interviewed Harry and his co-star Finn Whitehead, who's definitely going to be like a rising star, by the way.
In their hotel?
In his hotel.
Why are you making this sound like this was bad? Sorry. I'm just confused.
I'll give a run through. So these people will sit in the hotel room and there'll be an assembly line of journalists coming in and out. So they know that in 7 minutes' time, there'll be an entirely different person sitting in front of them and that will be their day for, you know, like 8 hours. They talk to so many people in a day. So it's like, I totally get why they're grumpy, although it's annoying for me when they're grumpy. But the mark of someone I think who is very nice, an actually nice person, is you have this really awkward 20 seconds at the end of your interview where you have to kind of stand in the room and wait for the camera person to give you your footage. And if they're not very nice, they'll just like look at their phone and ignore you. But Harry like kept talking to me and kept asking me questions. And then to the point where I was being taken out of the room and he was still asking me questions.
You're in there.
Ooh, yeah.
And he gave someone a kiss on the cheek. It wasn't me. Not ever.
Oh, he's so nice.
He's the perfect man.
He is a perfect man. So I'll play another clip of Harry because I love him so much. But I interviewed him and Finn Whitehead, who he shares most of his on-screen time with in the film. I'm not going to give any spoilers. And he's also done all of his press with him. So they have spent like hours and hours and hours together, Finn dodging every single question about Harry he can because everyone just wants to talk about Harry. So I wanted to see kind of like how well they know each other and all of that kind of thing.
I'd say Finn is worse than me.
I'm a pretty terrible morning person. I don't like mornings. I'm just tired in the mornings. It's tiring getting up, isn't it?
I'm not too bad, so I'll take that one, I think.
You're crazy in the mornings, man. You're just so energetic. I can't keep up, man.
It's motivating.
Who's more likely to be hangry?
I get pretty hangry.
Yeah.
You're coming out like a dream.
Harry's an angel. To be around.
He's an angel.
Like, wakes up tough, shouting at people because latte's not on set.
That's me, all over.
It's gone full diva.
I'm laughing at Kate's face during that when he said, "You're really energetic in the morning, Harry." Kate was like, "Oh, hello."
Wouldn't mind waking up to that.
Yeah. I also just want to let you know, I've got an espresso machine next to my bed, so I can also be very energetic in the morning. At the press of a button, Harry. At the press of a button.
That is Harry Styles in Dunkirk. And I'm like, he is good in it, I want to add. And I know that some people are very skeptical.
In the morning or in the film?
He's very good in the morning. I wish. He's currently the background on my phone and my laptop because I'm fully on the Harry Styles crazy train.
Did you also see the photo shoot of all the boys from Dunkirk together and made them look like they were recreating the What Makes You Beautiful video on the seafront? They were like, it was a bit inappropriate because it was like, you know, in the Dunkirk thing.
Like they're shell-shocked, but they're like, that's what makes you beautiful.
Exactly. That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, because the 1D hiatus isn't exactly a hiatus, is it?
No.
1D round two.
I miss it.
So yeah, if you want more of that interview, that is on the Heat World YouTube. And I'm shamelessly going to plug the fact that Harry Styles complimented the jumper that I was wearing.
I just want to call Lucy out on this. She actually printed the jumper because she knew Harry would comment on it.
No, that is not why I did it.
You catfished him
with your
fashion.
No, it is not. I hate you so much.
That is true. That's what happened.
No, it's not. I printed that.
Tell Kate the truth.
The truth is, I'm obsessed with Legally Blonde, the film.
Yeah.
To the point where I wrote my dissertation on it at uni. 15,000 words. And I noticed that there was not enough Legally Blonde merchandise out there, so I had my favourite quote from it printed onto a hoodie, like, 2 weeks ago.
And because?
Because I like the film. And then
no,
I was like...
That's so untrue. She literally said to me, sorry, everyone, because the story's quite boring unless you get this bit. Lucy was like, oh, I'm going to wear this because I know Harry likes chick flicks and I'm hoping that he's going to mention it. So you did.
I am going to kill you.
You put him in a thirst trap. That's what
you
did.
But it worked.
It
did work. No, I'm applauding it, but you got to own it.
I'm literally going to pull behind the curtain of all of our bulletins every day now that you're revealing my evil plans on air.
It's okay because Lucy has the editing control. So if she wants this bit left in, it will stay in. It's up to her completely.
Thank you.
No.
All right. So next topic that we're obsessed with. Loosely connected to Harry Styles because they once dated.
Yeah.
What a bee. Taylor Swift apparently being carted around in a suitcase. This is my favourite showbiz story of the year. I'm not kidding. I love it so much.
It was just this massive, massive suitcase being held by two men, taken from a hotel into a car. And then Taylor Swift's PR came out and said, I deny that Taylor Swift was in that suitcase.
My favourite thing is that the caption of it is just so matter of fact. It's like Taylor Swift being carried in a suitcase. Like, okay, sure.
Yeah, so basically, I think what happened was Splash, who take photos, they had a photographer working for them that they'd never used before, and he was doing pap shots, and he took a pap shot of this case and wrote underneath Taylor Swift being carried into her car by her bodyguards. So then obviously the whole press were like, oh my God, Taylor Swift's being carried in a suitcase. But then they came back saying, just to clarify, we were using a photographer we don't normally use. How could we know if Taylor was in that box? There's no way of knowing.
I think she was in there.
I do as well.
Just the way they were carrying it. Because it had wheels.
It was
so
heavy.
Could have just wheeled it along if there wasn't a person in there.
I want her to be in there so badly. Like, I just think 2017 needs this. Like, it's like, the need for Taylor Swift to be in that suitcase.
And also, the looks on the guys' faces were just like, what is my job?
Yeah, and they were really straining as well. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, what's so heavy that, you know, you'd be straining, that you'd be carrying like
guys,
that?
Yeah.
You don't think she's dead, do you?
I mean, we haven't seen her for a while.
No, I mean, that's really dark. I'm suddenly just
We haven't
just
seen her since Tom Hiddleston.
The whole world's like, woo. But they could have murdered
and
her.
Oh my gosh, is this like the Avril Lavigne is dead and they replaced her with a lookalike conspiracy?
She didn't have a 4th of July party this year.
No, she didn't.
But she apparently spotted going around home base in a wig, so...
Yeah, she was in Crouch End.
Yeah, she's the master of disguise. I wouldn't be surprised if she's in the room right now.
Which one of you is it? So I noticed, I'm very proud of myself being eagle-eyed showbiz nerd, that the day that we found out that Taylor Swift was apparently in a suitcase was a year to the day that Kim exposed her on Snapchat.
No.
Which is my favourite story of last year. It was the best day of work I've ever had. So I think she's like Santa Claus and comes once a year to bring us the best showbiz story of all time. And then she'll go away for a year. So July 18th, 2018 is going to be
a great
friggin'
day.
Crazy.
Dear Taylor Claus. I've been a good boy this year.
Please bring me something ridiculous.
Oh, she's amazing, though, if she did hide in a box. But she'd never admit to it.
She's not the first one, though. You know, Adele gets carried around. Well, yeah. Not like by routine, but she gets wheeled out of her concerts in a road case to avoid fans.
Absolutely. Well, she gets wheeled in a road case, yeah. And she left by a black cab.
Went to go see Busted, obviously on a similar level to Adele.
Yeah.
They got wheeled in on road cases.
Wow.
So yeah,
it's good enough for Busted.
It's good enough for Taylor.
Yeah.
I want it to be true. More
I mean,
than
how
anything.
Would you, if you were as famous as Taylor, how would you get out of your house if you wanted to not
it's
be
true.
Papped?
It's true. Have you ever seen those videos of people being papped? That is very true.
That is so true. Don't call the paparazzi.
I think she's learned her lesson on not calling the paparazzi after Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah. The thing is, though, like, it's hot. I mean, They're probably camped up outside her house, aren't they? Paparazzi?
Oh, absolutely. I actually talked to Tom Hiddleston a few months ago and I said like, oh, well, I didn't say it in this way because I would have been told off. But, you know, since Taylor Swift, he's obviously being followed around everywhere because the paparazzi are hungry for him. They will literally camp outside his house and he says that he'll go out for a run and they'll be there in his bushes trying to take his photo. And the only way that he can avoid that is if he goes for a run because they won't follow him. So, yeah, they'll just be sitting outside her house constantly.
Yeah.
So she's how just would coming you, up with ideas.
Yeah, how suitcase. Would you come out? Like, yeah, suitcase. Today, suitcase. Tomorrow, bush.
Can coffin.
Imagine her coming out in a bush. Or coffin.
Or what would you do? She car out in a wheelie bin.
A wheelie bin.
Just taking the bins out and in a car down the road.
Yeah, because she could cut the hole out the bottom
just taking
and walk.
To the tip, you know.
Although that would be so funny, her heels popping out the bottom of a wheelie bin.
So I don't think we'll ever know the full truth. Even though they deny it, I don't think it's true. As in, I don't think that them denying it is the real
story. I think it's true.
Sorry, Taylor. The world needs this.
Or we want to, and we're just going to say it's true anyway.
And finally, what we're obsessed with this week is Katie Price training to be a paramedic.
Yeah.
Which is the quickest career change of all time because wasn't she launching a singing career about 2 seconds ago?
She's had a singing career. She's businesswoman. Mum.
Business lady.
Business lady, glamour model, everything. But now She told Heat this week actually that she is going. She's training to be a paramedic. It's taken her 5 years, so just in case she has something to fall back on.
So she's already trained.
No, she's been training at the moment. So she's training for 5 years.
Okay, so in 5 years' time she'll be a paramedic.
Yeah, but she did used to train to be a nurse. But I mean, if you're in an emergency, would you want Katie Price turning up as your paramedic?
Yes. Yes, I can
You'd
say
be like,
yes.
No, go on without me. Let me die.
Sing me your new single. Save me.
I mean, there'd be no emotion there, would there? When she's...
No, that's
she's
true.
Like gauzing up your arm, like, yeah. I got you.
I really like
they
that.
Stop.
She wouldn't make you panic because she couldn't show any panic in her face. So
that's
like,
true.
You're fine. I can't move.
Does she know
you're
that
never going to walk again?
She does know that being a paramedic is not administering Botox, doesn't she? She knows that, right?
Well, maybe that's what she's going to, like, make a niche for herself, paramedic Botox.
Oh, great. I'm ringing 999
like
right
your
now.
Leg is broken, but I've just noticed you've got some crow's feet, so while we wait, I'll just fix that for
you're
you.
You're out of the pub and you're like, oh, God, I've got a big line on my forehead.
999!
Have we got Katie Price there? Yeah, she's coming around with the Botox right now.
Botox fan. I like it.
I think this is lovely, actually, so... I don't want to make too many jokes about poor little Katie Price. I think she's had a. I think she gets given a tough time. She's
okay. So you're more than happy to drag me on the podcast, but you won't drag Katie Price.
I didn't drag you. I just feel like she. I feel that's pretty amazing that she wants to be a paramedic.
Yeah, but will she actually do it?
I guess.
Is there
that's
any
the question.
Way to verify?
Do
this?
Do you think she will?
No. It's another one of her things, isn't it? To say.
Is it?
I'm doing this, I'm doing that.
Yeah, wasn't she like a horse
lady? I've fallen for it.
I mean, it's taken her five... I'm sure it doesn't take 5 years to train to be a paramedic.
No, I think it does, actually. Does it? Yeah, because I used to date a paramedic. It does take a long time to become a paramedic, to like know how to do everything. I don't know, I think that's really cool. You know, because also... am I getting too deep here, guys?
No, I was laughing at a joke I was going to make, but it's too mean.
What were you going to say?
I was like... Did he ghost you and say that he couldn't commit because he spends 5 years being a paramedic?
No, he didn't.
Yeah, I've got this five
Sorry, I'm busy
years.
For 5 years.
Busy for 5 years.
Call you later.
I don't know. I just think she's had a hard time with the press and also like when she was in the Big Brother house and people were having a go at her for using taxpayers' money to look after her son and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's nice that she wants to give back and be part of the NHS, if that's what she's doing.
Yeah, it's nice that she says she wants to do it. Whether it actually happens is another thing. In 5 years' time, if Katie Price is a paramedic, I'll give it to you, but...
I would love it.
The thing is, I think that Katie Price isn't someone that needs a fallback plan. She's rolling
True.
In it.
True.
She's not like that guy from JLS that is now a farmer because he's not got a career in music anymore.
He's got a chicken
farm. He's like,
farm.
I just really like deer.
What?
He's like, I'm a venison farmer.
I thought it was a chicken farmer.
Oh, either one.
Maybe the chickens.
Is it any different?
Didn't make it. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I like her.
Whenever I've met her, I've always quite liked her.
Yeah, I think she's really honest.
Like, you're right. Yeah. Yeah, you just don't get a lot of warmth from her.
No, she's definitely business-minded.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I don't think she's going to become a proper paramedic. I think you're totally right.
Not.
I think I'm just giving her the benefit of the doubt for no reason.
She'll turn up at a new book launch in a sexy paramedic's uniform.
Yeah.
She'll be like, I'm qualified as a paramedic. And then she won't want to do shift work.
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
Christmas Day. Sorry, Katie, you're new. You've got the short straw. Oh, quit.
All right, so that is it from We're Obsessed With this week. So in case you didn't know, it comes out every Friday. And for all of that showbiz gossip that you might have missed, the magazine is out now, Heat Radio, which James is on. What hours are you on, James?
Oh, sorry. I'm on 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Heat Radio.
Yes, you're on 20... Well, you're not on 24-7, but the radio station is on 24-7.
Yes, and Lucy pops up in my show.
I do.
As well. Say hi.
Some shade for you next week.
So, yeah.
And for any breaking stories, you can head to heatworld.com. But for now, that is it. Bye.
Bye.